Welcome to The Money Men. My name is Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton. Usually I ask how your week is. I'm just assuming you found a gelato place. I'm assuming you went to Airtasker and you got someone else to do a DIY. How was the track at Caulfield, do you think?
It was great. It was great. And what a day of racing at Caulfield on Saturday. Willie Pike answered his critics in good style, and I've probably been his biggest critic, and he was fantastic.
He was. We'll get to Pikey soon when we talk about the Caulfield Guineas with Ole Kirk. We've got some stats on William Pike. In terms of the track, Vince Arcati sent through the times through from Daily Sectional, so thanks very much for that, Vince. We put them through our database. True position, entire circuit. Good four. Upgraded to a good three after race six. Just with us and through our times, I think it's just a genuine good four all the way through. I don't know if it really got into that hard, firm good three that Flemington can. Very different tracks in terms of how they can firm up, but it raced absolutely beautiful. Well done to the Caulfield crew, Jason Kerr and his team. They've got another 2 days, obviously, with the Wednesday and then obviously Caulfield Cup Day, but yeah, sensational effort, I thought.
Yeah, you could win from everywhere. I mean, a leader won the first, but no more leaders won for the rest of the day. And, you know, I think the track actually suited Willie Pike in that you could get back and run on, and he had a few of those horses get over the top of him.
Yeah, let's start off. Race one for the two-year-olds here. Just even tempo out, Benny. 23.58 last 400, 12.22 last 200. So they didn't smash the clock last 400 at all. Just equal to standard time. Fake Love, it was scratched from the Flemington two-year-old race. Found the front, as you mentioned, Mark Zara, and won pretty convincingly, I thought, pretty soft on the line. He definitely looked after the horse. Was $4.60 out to $5.50. The money came for Extreme Warrior, $7.50 into $5. Again, all of these horses were debutants, so made it really tricky, especially from the way we do our form. Obviously, we don't really look at the jump outs too much. I will say Animo there, the Godolphin horse, $8 into $6.50. I think it's one you can follow with a bit of confidence. I thought it was a nice horse for the future. They might put it away now and it could be a major player in the early autumn. It runs fifth. Anything out of the race, mate?
Well, I think a good lesson is you need a professional two-year-old in these early two-year-old races. This horse drew barrier one, obviously from probably the best camp in Australia at the moment, Mara Eustace, and obviously it jumped out well. So I ticked a lot of boxes and it did start favourite. So, you know, it was the logical first horse to go looking for in this race and did a really good job, and obviously soft on the line. And as you mentioned, Animo was the eye-catcher late, where he probably got shuffled a little bit further back than he wanted to and really got home late. So, you know, if they do go to 1,200 metres in the next few weeks, it can be competitive.
Just worth noting, just compare that. We compared that to, say, the Flemington two-year-old race from the week previous. It's gone just a little bit less. So that Flemington two-year-old form at the moment seems to be just ahead of this one, I thought, on our stuff. Race two for the three-year-olds here, Benny. Look, they've gone out pretty slowly here, but 22.84 last 400, 11.68 last 200, which was very good. And Swat's that. She had that September run form. She went to Moonee Valley and won convincingly. And she's done it again. I thought the ride from Johnny Allen was outstanding. He sort of got that 1-1. Probably took the spot that Jai wanted with Muntasira. I know Jai came out and said he was happy to probably follow a backside. Just that seemed to be the race then, because then Muntasira had to come out and chase Swat's that. She's a good filly.
Yeah, she did a really good job. I mean, she probably put the race away between the 400 and the 200 metre mark, gave a really good little sprint. Might have got a little bit tired late, but she was fantastic. And, you know, going back to her previous run at Moonee Valley, she sat three wide all the way. So she hasn't necessarily had everything go right this campaign, but she's ran a good race each time. And, you know, they're talking Coolmore Stakes now. Do you reckon she can measure up to that?
Oh, I think so. I mean, September's run runs right there, and I think she's just about there. The mark's a little bit less than what September run did up the straight again 2 weeks ago, but she is right in the picture, I think. We've got a couple of these colts that we sort of don't know about. Anders might run in the Blue Sapphire on Wednesday. We've got to see him, see how he performs. It's going to be interesting. I think these fillies are right there.
Yeah, Muntasira. I mean, she did probably as good a job as Swat's that. Was still coming on the line.
Yeah.
I tend to think she's probably not up to that top lot, but if you think that Swat's that is right there, she can't be too far off.
Yeah, and it's interesting with the market with Muntasira, $4.40 into $3.30, and a lot of that was late, so that was a positive sign for her run second. Swat's that was $2.35 out to $2.90. He just got a little bit soft late. Highly Discreet, $6 into $5.50, just didn't pan out for it. I want to see that horse again. Bala Nipotina was the big drifter, $6.50 out to $11. I think that was because of the 1,200 metres getting to sort of this kind of distance. I thought it ran well for third, so maybe they can just probably have to come back a peg, but he can win a race. Race three, now they went fast here, Benny. A third of a second inside standard time, 24.20, 12.40 last 400, last 200, which was only average for the day, but this was a pretty brutal tempo sent by Runson. And Windstorm, well, his base is just really good. We spoke about it, the 11-14, then 14 again 2 weeks ago when he defeated Buffalo River. And it all just panned out really well for him, Windstorm. It was a good performance.
Yeah, it has a betting on it. It was completely off the map. And if you compare that to a horse like, say, Order of the Garter later in the day, who was a similar price in the morning but just didn't firm up, and you have a look at this horse, starts at $1.75. And I was worried at the 400. I thought it maybe it wasn't travelling. But once they cornered and he sort of caught up to him really quickly, and he was always going to be the strongest late. But because he had a pretty really good platform for that race.
Absolutely.
He had three absolute cracking races at fast tempos, at slow tempos. He had a really good platform and he could absorb that high-pressure race and come over the top of him, and he was really good. And Pikey timed his run to perfection.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key was there, the race probably lacked a little bit of depth. In terms of the market, Cuba, which was rising heavily in weight, did get Jamie Carr, but was 6 out to 9, run sixth. And Faistos, which was first up, got soft as well, 6.50 out to 8. And then that big push. The professionals wanted to play with Windstorm. 2.40 into 2.05 Saturday morning. We know they play then from Saturday morning onwards into $1.75. Pointing into the market for them to be moving that hard. Massive go, Windstorm, and they were correct.
There was one horse I just think we can follow. Arcademus was first up on speed on a really hot tempo and really battled on well. Will be improved going into the next couple of runs. It was its first start for the Hawks camp, who obviously could improve this horse to another level. So I'd be following that horse going forward in the next few weeks in a similar sort of race.
Very good. Race 4, moderate tempo here. 0.4 of a second inside standard time though, Benny. 22.82, 11.70. 11, last 400, last 200. This race has gone really good. I will say the first 600 was a third of a second quicker than race 2, the Swats that race, and the last 400 was just as good. So that's how good the race has gone. But it was only a moderate tempo. But I will say this is a race to follow with confidence. I think you're going to get plenty of these winners will come out of this race.
Yeah, for sure. And Felicia's a really good benchmark for this class. She's a really top-class mare. Obviously, a lot of them might go to 1,400 metres now, which Felicia might be found out at, but you'd reckon it'd suit Fiesta down to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key might have been Bowman. He's had a few rides on this horse, and you look at the race book, and he's never actually ridden a winner on her until Saturday, but a lot of them were actually her peak runs, you know, second and third in really hot class races. So maybe Bowman's the key for Fiesta punters. Felicia backs up into the 1,400 metre Tristark at Caulfield, I think Caulfield Cup Day. 3.70 into $3.30 there. She's in rare air at the moment, so she gets her chance to try and stretch out to 7 furlongs. If she can't do it now, she'll never do it.
And you've put Lyra into your black book?
No, Lyra's forever. Look, it's just a Lyra. Hasn't won since the Blue Diamond 2019, I think 21st of February. And look, she's unlucky and she'll always be unlucky. Jamie Carr was on. She still couldn't get her to win, and Jamie Carr's getting broomsticks winning. So don't know about Lyra. She might find a spot near the end of the show. Race 5, equal to standard time here. Again, only moderate tempo though, Benny, for this Group 2 Scalacci. 22.72, which was the best. You can see it highlighted there. The best last 400 of the day, race overall type, and then 11.76 last 200. No margins here, which concerns me. Octane does plenty wrong, ends up running third. It's a horse that just needs a big track. Whenever it gets to Flemington, the old Salinger, I keep talking about that race, I don't know what it's called now, but Octane will probably be well-suited there. What do you make of the race overall?
Well, this is a Group 2 weight for age race, and the logical next step is into a Group 1, but I don't think these are Group 1 horses. I think they sort of got a weak weight for age race here, and they got their opportunity to win one, and Dirty Work obviously did a really good job from back in the field. It did have Guitra and Classic Legend form from up in Sydney, which is pretty solid form. They're going to be right up in the market in the Everest, so really solid form line to go into a race like this, which in reality was probably a Group 3 handicap class race rather than a Group 2 weight for age race. So I thought Diamond Effort was okay. It was caught wide, but we talk about these shoot races at Caulfield. You can be wide.
I don't think that was a disadvantage,
I think they're an even bunch, and you know, a horse like Haydock, what sort of race are you going to win these days?
Well, he's going to go to the Manicato, who was 18 to $5.50. He finished his fourth. He was the true weight for age horse because a lot of these were having their first crack at weight for age and probably better suited to a handicap type race. You're right. In the Group 1 race at 1,200 metres, the Darley Classic or the VRC Classic, they're going to struggle. I think they can't win. But the Salinger the week before, it's right up their alley. They run around against each other, and horses like Sutori, they'll be competitive, and that's about where they sit, I think. We'll be back after the break. The next 5 races, including all 4 Group 1s. Welcome back to The Money Men. We are dissecting Caulfield Guineas Day. Genuine good four track. Don't know if we got the upgrade. I know they did upgrade it after race six, but I think it was generally good four all the way through, Benny. Let's crack on to the Caulfield Stakes. First of the group ones here, 2,000 metres. Very slow out, 0.6 of a second outside standard time. 22.88 last 400, 11.58 last 200. Best of the day race overall, so it should be off that slow tempo. And Russian Camelot, well, I think it just highlights that maybe he's a superior wet tracker. That's just my opinion.
And I think in the past few years we've been spoiled by Winx and Black Caviar, these real top-class horses. Just keep on winning. And in this case, Russian Camelot probably didn't have it quite run to suit, probably needs a bit of a quicker tempo. And he's just not at that very, very top level to overcome any sort of negatives in this class of race. And I thought he still ran well. I think he will be better suited on a faster tempo where his sort of stay in prowess will come out. But he was a sitting duck there at Caulfield on Saturday, particularly when you look back through Arcadia Queen's form. She's a dry tracker with a really good turn of foot, and it was run to suit for a horse like that on Saturday.
It was. And there's going to be more speed in the Cox Plate, so I understand that he's going to get probably conditions to suit, but you've got to have a quicker turn of foot if you want to win a Cox Plate, especially with horses like Aspida, Armory and Sir Dragon A coming. They're going to be mighty hard to beat, those internationals, I think, and they'll make it a genuine tempo. But worth noting, four dry track runs now, hasn't won yet, Russian Camelot. Got beaten by Pancho, got beaten by Spend, Fierce Impact in the Maccabi, and then Arcadia Queen. He runs well, but his peak figures on our stuff is clearly on a wet track. Arcadia Queen, $4.80 out to $5.50. I will say the market again has Russian Camelot just going to a level. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago when he won the Underwood, and we said they've got him going to this huge number. $1.60 into $1.45 has got this horse going to a huge number. We just haven't got that on our stuff at the moment yet. Yes, we could try and progress him to get there, but he hasn't done it yet on the track. This Cox Plate is going to be a really good race, but I reckon it's going to be an absolutely sensational market to see what actually happens, because you've got the internationals. What are they going to do with Russian Camelot, especially if it's a dry track? And what are they going to do with Arcadia Queen? It's going to be fascinating.
So I think the price that started on Saturday is due to the Winx hangover and thinking that all these good horses are just going to keep winning. And the Cox Plate's setting up for a fantastic race. In regards to the Melbourne Cup for this horse, was there anything in that run that suggests it's better suited at the Melbourne Cup rather than the Cox Plate?
The whole run. I mean, the run was outstanding for a Melbourne. If you look at it just purely on it's going to be running in a Melbourne Cup, tick, 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 tick. Sensational. It's just now that everyone's going, oh, this Cox Plate is sort of the main target. If you take the Cox Plate out of it, he is on perfect track to win the Melbourne Cup with 53.5 kilos, running second and running a pretty good rating there.
Does he need a wet track to win a Melbourne Cup?
Probably does, with a horse like Tiger Moth, who could be coming over, who might be something very, very good at his fourth ever start. It's going to be interesting, but he's just so well placed at 2 miles with 53.5, I think. Let's crack on to the 1,000 guineas here, Benny. Quick time overall, equal to standard time, but they've gone out pretty quick. 23.92 last 400, 12.22 last 200. It was just okay, but again, it was a genuine tempo here. And, well, the speed map horse, Odium, gets along, defied the SP last up, $21. And wins again and actually makes a mess of him, really.
Yeah, when I priced this race up, I stuffed it up. I went all for Hungry Heart here, Blinker's first time, on the backup. But the thing I missed with Hungry Heart was it's an afterthought. It's very hard. They peaked it last start in the Flight Stakes. Very hard to go again a week later and perform. And Odium was the horse with the right timing, getting to the race at the third or fourth run this campaign. Absolutely target race, maps well, and got a great ride and did the job. And the market really found it.
Sure did. 17 into 9, and that was just purely off the map, I think, the speed map there. Instant Celebrity, 4 out to $4.20. Just got back, couldn't really find a slot, Craig Williams. It's ran well. Hungry Heart. Now, you say that you really drove into it. Well, the market did as well. And punters have got to understand this. $3.40 into $2.60. The professionals that move these markets, the Blinkers first time, the 7-day backup coming out of a fast run race, that just blows up their absolute computers. It just would actually explode. So there was no doubt that it was always going to shorten. If you can work out and identify why these horses are going to shorten, which we knew would happen, it's whether then you want to believe it as well. And a few people out there didn't believe it, and obviously it didn't run up to it, but you still got to find the winner, and the punters did with Odium.
And even with Hungry Heart, the Montefilia form line held up on Saturday with it winning the Spring Champion Stakes. Just on Instant Celebrity, it ran home well, Is it an Oaks filly, or is that enough for her? Put her away, come back next time in, keep her to races up to a mile?
Yeah, I'd keep her at 1,600 metres. There's a race still at the end of the carnival at 1,600 metres against the older mares. I'd be putting her in the Empire Rose. She will be riding that. We know they've got a really good record in a race like that. I wouldn't be pushing her out any further. I don't think she's going to be a stayer at all. She's going to be a 1,400-metre, 1,600-metre horse and maybe in time just actually a pure sprinter. That's how quick her last 400, 200 is. I reckon I'd be watching for her in the Empire Rose. I reckon she could be mighty hard to beat in that race. The boys, race 8, they've gone out even quicker than race 7 here. Equal to standard time again, though, and the reason why I was only equal to standard time was because this last 400, 200, as you can see, identified in red, which was the worst of the day, 24.62. 12.64. The first 800, half a second quicker than the girls. The last 400, 3/4 of a second slower than the girls. So you can identify there that they've gone out a lot quicker, but they've come home a lot slower as well. Ole Kirk, he lived up to his ability in terms of coming out of two fast run races. We thought maybe that could be an issue with him, but he's just a good colt coming off the Golden Roast and now win the Caulfield Guineas.
And he just seems to keep getting underrated. Like, even on Saturday, he was on the drift. Where does he sit amongst the three-year-old colts we've had the last 5 or 6 years? He's probably got to be up there, even though he doesn't have the fanfare that, say, the Autumn Sun had when he won the Caulfield Guineas.
Yeah, totally agree. He's done nothing wrong, so I think he'll go to the paddock now. Asar, 26 into 17. The blinkers went on first time. He went really well, went through the roof. Crosshaven, 14 into 11. Again, probably just off the speed map type thing. He runs fourth. Tagaloa was the big go. $8 into $4.60, then into $4.40 on the race day, and just finishes out the back of the tally. So obviously an issue with that. But again, the professionals were backing this off the fact that it was going to speed the map where it was going to land. We spoke about William Pike and what factor maybe the professionals or the market would have with him going on to the favourite in the Caulfield Guineas. I did a little piece on Three Wide No Cover and also Insider Trading. So he was 5 from 36 in the Metro. And don't forget about his country and his midweek form. We just wanted to work like for like. Proportional staking, so taking into account, you know, the markets, -4%. Well, after Saturday, he's ridden 4 from 6. He's now 9 from 42, going at 21% strike rate. And his ROI is 35%. Proportional staking, taking in market expectation. The market, if they were slightly worried about him, which they wouldn't have been with -4% ROI, we're now going to absolutely froth him.
Well, I think it was a track that suited Pikey. You could run on. I've been critical of how passive he's been, which I do think it cost him some races by riding horses too quiet. But on this occasion, the track was racing to suit his riding pattern, and he was on the right horses at the right time. So I think he did a great job, don't get me wrong, but it did suit him on the day. And Pikey's the type of guy you cheer for him. He's a humble champion. Yeah. And I was glad to see him do that on Saturday, because he was the real star of the show for Mike.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, 4 from 6. It's not as if he rode in 10 races. He only rode in 6.
Yeah,
and he's won 4 of them. And the other two, I think, he's finished a placing on. So he's had an absolute sensational day. And just from the market perspective, a lot of people were saying, oh, Pikey, the market's going to go against him. Now he just doesn't put him in. It's just not – the stats are just saying that it's just not the case. So always got to drill down onto those kinds of information there, punters. Race 9, the Toorak, they've gone out just okay here, just moderate tempo. Last 400, 200, 23.40, 11.90, which was very good. They're equal to standard time. Mr. Quickie has absolutely gone through the roof with the top weight to win this race. Not just win it, but actually smack them up to win by 2. Buffalo River, I think, also has gone enormous with the 53 kilos. This is a really hot race.
Well, I think Jamie Carr's the key to this race. Trainers seem to be putting her on to try and get the best out of their horses if they're not quite going as well as they were. And Mr. Quickie, this is a classic example of that, where they didn't know where he was in his career, and she's got on board, and now they know he's a miler, and that was the right race for him, and he did a really good job, and you know he can be competitive in the mile races over the Flemington Carnival.
Yeah, I think he'll go to the Kentala, and again, look, he's probably going to get a big weight again, but if he puts up that figure, he's going to be mighty hard to beat. And if Jamie sticks, as you say, you've got this right. Jamie Carr is just going to another level. I think, you know, with COVID, she's stayed here and she's just riding in Victoria purely. Absolutely outstanding. She's going to be anything.
So last 4 months, she's riding at 20% winning strike rate. And I think it's more the trainers have got confidence in her now. When she first came to Victoria, she was getting some decent rides, but everyone's probably just had a little bit of a query on her. But now she's proven herself. She's going to get some better rides than what she was getting when she first came over. And I just love her balance. That's
the key.
She gets the best out of them because of her balance.
Yeah, her hands and her seat are just outrageously good. As I've said many times, it's just like the horse seems to think they're going a lot better than what they possibly are. So, yeah, she's a great rider. In terms of a horse to follow, I think Buffalo River was $4.40 out to $5. But just love him on speed here. This is only second up, and he was off a really slow run race when he was first up, beaten by Windstorm. And he just is a horse where we always talk about this. What percentage? Do you want to be in high percentage plays? Well, he's a horse that's always going to be there. He's going to be on speed. I don't know where he goes to next, but you get any cut in the ground, he's going to even go better. He's just in for a great career. Not just talking about this prep, but a great career. He'll be winning group ones.
Yeah, he was only second up, so he's got more left in the tank for the next few weeks as well.
Last race here, you win and you get into the Caulfield Cup. They've actually gone out here pretty slowly. Now, there's a little bit of talk that they've gone, you know, really hard. They haven't really at all. 24-1-6, 12-34, which is only average home, in good health, set of tempo. The fact is that probably Luke got going at about the 800, really ramped up the pressure. You can see Order of the Garter there fall out the back of the TV, as we say. 225 out to $2.60. He was second or third pick. We were very keen on him in this race. We got it horribly wrong. Chapada, 650 into $4.60. Market wanted to be with him late. His 2,400-metre record is very good, and he books himself into a Caulfield Cup. Benny, can he win it?
Oh, I don't know if he can win the Caulfield Cup. I think there's a bit more class than him. Just in regards to Order of the Garter, I backed this horse on Saturday. I marked him 210. He was sitting about 250, and I thought he was going to crunch into nearly odds on, but he was disappointing. But what I learned from that was I concentrate on times, SPs a lot. I think once you get to 2,400 metres, they become less relevant and you just need that 2,400 metre horse, and that's what Chapada was on Saturday.
It's a good point. Market also, 225 out to $2.60, I feel like they might have lost him. I know they were saying he didn't stay 2,400. I don't know about that. I just feel like they might have lost him throughout the week, and he's cactus, obviously, for the prep, but he did have a really good prep, Order of the Garter. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Back with the money man, Trash and Treasure. What are you kicking to the curb, Benny?
Hungry Heart / Afterthoughts. I was dead keen on Hungry Heart on Saturday. Blinker's first time coming out on the backup, coming out of that really fast race in Sydney. But the fact that I didn't take into account was an afterthought. She was aimed at the flight stakes, failed in that. So they came down for the 1,000 guineas and she failed. So a lesson learned for me.
Yeah, probably be nice to watch three wide cover, no cover, and you might actually find that out. Anyway, move on. Liar for me. She's coming out of a really good race. Fiesta won that race. It's a race to follow. It's a really solid race, but it's just Liar. She hasn't won since Blue Diamond Day, where it was the Blue Diamond. Jamie Carr went on. She couldn't get her to win. She's getting everything to win. She'll win a race this prep. She just won't have my money on it. Treasure.
Willie Pike, I kicked him to the curb a few weeks ago and been very critical of him, but he answered in good fashion. You can just imagine him going to the race and on Saturday he goes, I'm going to prove wrong that bloke who I've never heard off of the money man, prove him wrong, and he did in good style. And he's a humble champion. You really bag for people like William Pike.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Jamie Carr for me, great seat, great saddle. She's going to have an outstanding career if she already doesn't have one. Well done, Jamie Carr.
And the Caulfield track raced really well on Saturday. They've got two meetings coming up and I'm sure the track managers will get it right because it's a fantastic track, Caulfield, when it's racing well.
Absolutely. They run straight. It's sensational effort what that camp can do. We'll be back next week to dissect Caulfield Cup Day. We'll see you then.